his light shine bright. Bad boy sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boy's a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Oh, what a way to start off, seeing Rob's pasty white titties there and his changing into his shirt. That was so wonderful. I wish we should have broadcast that. That was
Love my titties.
That's what I'm saying. It that was OnlyFans worthy.
Oh shit.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, I don't need to worry about it. You're my only fan.
I'm just saying, a little nipple play, you know.
Oh, you love me.
No.
Oh, I feel like Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, ooh, all right.
Oh,
Rob's got the dance down.
Matt Michaels, Sensei Steve, Rob Trump. I love that. Here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Oh, man. Hey. So, you ever go to work and then get fired? Because that happened to a bunch of people this week. And,
oh boy.
Multiple releases.
Yeah.
All these people released here. And, you know, some of the names here, on the list as well. Okay. So, obviously, a lot of people on this list. What stands out first and foremost to you guys in terms of some of these names that we're seeing here?
I want to jump off immediately with Zelina and Aleister Black. They never gave Aleister Black the type of storylines that we wanted to see from him. They didn't set up any long-term storytelling, in my opinion. And they used him and Zelina Vega to cover the gap that they created themselves when they got rid of Scarlett and Karrion Kross. But out of all of this, there's an overarching thing, which is storylines left on the table. They had a lot of potential great storylines left on the table. Motor City Machine Guns were green. They had, you know, one little quick tag run. We didn't get to do much with them. The Wyatt Six, there was so much that could have been done with them. And even when Uncle Howdy wasn't around, no Bo Dallas, they didn't use the other wrestlers. They let him sit on the shelf and wait for I don't know what. They could have had them run interference for months. And this one on and on. Alba Fire, another great one. She was great enhancement talent for Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green gets hurt, no Alba Fire. There were so many people here who did a good job in the position they were in and were never given a chance. Others like Apollo Crews, some of these other guys, Chris Island, screw them. But for the most part, a lot of these people were still...
Wait, hold on. Do you know who Chris Island is, Rob?
I don't.
Okay.
And that was my point. I don't.
And that's the thing. You know, some of these names are names that, you know, are known. They were main roster. And then others were like Chris Island, who was LFG talent.
Yep.
The other one was Tyra Mae Steele, who won.
She won.
Yeah.
But, and she's a former gold medalist.
Right.
Which blows my mind.
But in all honesty, if you watched her work,
right,
she had no charisma in terms of being able to translate into something else. So, you know, that's the whole thing. You have younger talent like that, and then you have established talent. One of the things you said, Rob, which is kind of the point of all this when these cuts happen, is that if you look at this list, there is no talent on this list that was main talent, right? This is one of the things that you look at and you go, this is all salary dump. That's exactly what this is. This is TKO cleaning up books and getting rid of people based on how they peg in, right? So if you look at it, Kairi Sane is not, she wasn't Io Sky. Now, if Io Sky got released, I think people would be going, holy fucking shit.
But this is the thing. What the women that I saw them bring up from NXT on Monday and Friday got booed out of the building. And there was nothing about them that was more entertaining than the story that they were still in the process of telling.
No, but Rob, you're forgetting one thing of what I just said. Salary dump.
Yeah, I get all of that. I get that. I would have dumped a couple of NXT people before I got rid of Kairi Sane amidst a really entertaining storyline, which I was chomping at the bit to see if there would ever be a resolution for. There were a couple of stories in here that I would have liked to see continue at a reasonable. I would have liked to see more of the Wyatt Six. I would have liked to see Kairi Sane. Abso-frickin-lutely would I like to have seen those two. Some of these other people, no. I agree with you. Aleister Black, I'm on the fence about, because I don't know who he would have had chemistry with in the ring. He had chemistry with nobody in the ring, and that's unfortunate. And to be honest, if we're going to go this direction, you're going to have to get rid of Rusev too. If you're going to, you know, I'm sure he'll make it to the next cut, but he's not being utilized reasonably. And he's not building any feuds with anybody. He's enhancement talent.
But again, that's the prof.
I'm agreeing with you now. I am now in agreement.
But that's the problem when you look at it. Not only WWE, AEW too, right? When you have this many people, 75% of your roster is enhancement talent. And storylines in both companies are not thought through. They're, you know, put together to get this person or that person over, or get this person, that person on TV. And, you know, this is the continuous revolving door of people who are great, solid, professional workers, but they're not selling the merch. You know, the Wyatt Six, they should have been selling tons of fucking merch, but where was it? It wasn't there. And
that's my point, is I don't think WWE set them up for success. They gave them a huge start, and then they just pulled the wind. They just popped the balloon.
Well, the question becomes too, though, was that them or the WWE itself, or in some manners, was that also them?
It's both. I mean, again, it's like I said earlier, you had, and I will hop back on this one. You had six people. One of them's not there. You're not going to go forward with storylines for these people. They made it an all or nothing situation for that group. They failed that group. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I don't know why Nikki Cross couldn't wrestle for 5 years, because I don't know. And your answer was, does she need to, Rob? She's getting a check to sit there. And I'm saying, no, build your brand, build your worth. If they're telling you you can take a rest, don't take it. I would have said, no, put me in a match. Find me somebody to fight.
Steve,
it doesn't work like that.
I understand that. But if you don't press, it doesn't. You guys are laughing. You're talking to an entertainer. You don't get stage time if you don't press. You're right. Talking correct. To an entertainer. But
that's also not a guarantee. That's also not a guarantee for usage.
Understood. But if you're not pressing, you're trying to tell me you've got all these people here dressed up like the Wyatt family.
Right, Rob.
With his famous, and you can, you're trying to tell me that either the WWE TKO or these individuals, neither one of them wanted to be successful?
So are you pressing Laugh Factory for your stage time? Because they don't know who the fuck you are, right? You know,
and
what
that's
I'm saying?
My fault. That's partially my fault, but they are in a microcosm.
But right. So is this. Because you have to, you're under contract. You are being managed by what they're doing. So you can pitch your ideas. You can say, I'm ready. You can be 100% there. That's great. It's not indie wrestling.
But why are we talking about LA Knight and not Max Dupree? Because he pressed for LA Knight. It was a one in a million shot. That's what entertainment is. If you are not pressing, that means you didn't want it bad enough, and they don't see that you want it bad enough. So I don't know what's going on behind stage. I think part of it is that a lot of these people need to find somebody that they can wrestle with safely, because maybe two people are performing behind the scenes at Performance Center preparing, and there's a botch fest going on, and they're not safe, and they cannot balance each other's styles. There could be a million things because there's a physical element to this. But the fact that you have, I see five people in your picture there, all five of them were losers? No. So what was that? What was it that you went out of your way and you grabbed Zelina Vega and also grab Aleister Black? You put them together. You make her look like Morticia Gomez. You make Zelina look like Morticia Gomez. It was the shittiest gimmick.
Zelina Gomez shouldn't even be on the fucking roster right now to begin with.
I'm making an Adams Family reference.
Yeah, I get it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that she was around this long is fucking insane. Okay? And the fact that they did, you know, all these people got their opportunities and chances. But they're not, unfortunately, they're not Roman Reigns. They're not even the MFT. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that, okay, and to me, that's a bad example because Roman Reigns can barely speak on a microphone. It took him, you know how many chances they gave Roman Reigns by comparison to how few chances they gave these people? That's a terrible example.
Steve,
Roman Reigns spent 7 years bombing.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Speaking of 7 years, I have to talk about usage for Kairi Sane in 7 years, okay? 7 years, zero televised singles title challenges. During her main roster run, four Elimination Chamber matches and four Money in the Bank matches happened, and she wasn't in any of them. In her five Royal Rumble appearances, she scored one elimination, which was a combined accidental elimination of Asuka. In these 7 years since she was called up to the main roster, she won seven times on Raw or SmackDown TV. Five were distractions and roll-ups, and only two were with her finish. In 7 years, she won one singles match clean with her finish. So I think that speaks volumes of how Kairi Sane was actually used during her tenure in WWE, as opposed to, you know, I think the onus should actually go on WWE for how she was used. I should say
that's the kind of and
obviously.
Okay, so then who do you bump?
Exactly, and that's the shell game that you have to shuffle. You know,
Someone has to be Iron Mark Sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. And realistically, if you look at that faction, you know, EO, Asuka, and Kairi, who would be the one to take the bumps and the one to take the falls? Clearly, they have a well-established character in Asuka going into that unit. And then you're building EO Sky. Kairi was kind of the odd person out, unfortunately, in that stable. I do think that She's got that 90-day no compete. Clearly, they've been hyping up, and they just signed that Io and Asuka match. Realistically, bring her back for one more appearance. One more appearance at the end of that match, and then, you know, have the final resolution to that story.
They're not going to do that.
I'm well aware of that.
I know. Would I love that? Yes. As a Mark wrestling fan, would I like that you finish what you started? That she finally chooses, you know, Io over Asuka? Sure. But this is my piss point with WWE. They do this all the fucking time.
Well, yeah, and it's
if
a business.
You don't want to hear me bitch about it, then don't do it. But
it's a business.
It's
unfortunately
a business.
That's the reality of it. That is the reality of the situation that we are in the pro wrestling world in 2026.
They could have resolved stories like this a long time ago, built up her stock a little bit, and maybe knocked out some of these other jobbers that they're dragging up here and there along the way. I would have put her over Alba Fire.
You just called the NXT Women's Champion who held it for almost 300 days. A jobber, someone who survived, you know, Mandy's not even around anymore with, and neither's, you know, and Gigi, JC Jane has survived all this shit. So you better watch how you're talking jobbers.
What about the other two?
That person has worked her ass off to get up
all right,
there.
What and about, does deserve it. I give you JC Jane. What about her? The new member of the Riot Squad. We've seen this before. They're going to fall off. I would have rather have seen you complete a storyline that was good and had people connected than dragging two people up to accompany JC Jane that are going to get chopped off left and right.
Except for the fact that Kairi Sane probably is making a shitload more money than she is. And number two, you just said it. Someone has to eat the pins. And that's the person who's going to be eating the fucking pins. She's the Kairi Sane of that group. And when they eventually get released, you know, someone comes to releasing, that's the person who's going to get released unless she steps up and shows, you know, superstar potential.
That's my question. But that's my question. What does that look like then? Who decides when that happens? Who decides whether you become the next Max Dupree or the next LA Knight? Who decides that? Is it solely based on WWE?
But again, you're using a point that Vince McMahon was in charge at that point, who made a Max Breed. You didn't even know who the fuck the guy was. He never even watched NXT. So when these guys came up, he fucked with them. He had no fucking... Honestly, LA Knight should be released. Going on this logic, right? But he's not. Why? Because he's a liked guy, and he does have merchandise sales, he has commercial deals, he can talk, he can do all those things. He's proved his worth. He's not going to be a fucking champion just because the fans want to see him as champion, and then all the fucking there's nothing else for him to do. This is a company that is based solely, and go back to Hogan, fucking Brett, fucking Shawn, The Rock.
So what you're saying, I want to pair your logic. You want to have another dynasty champion that just holds the belt indefinitely.
The fact of the matter is that's what this company is. And always has been, from Bruno fucking Sammartino, who held the belt longer than most people fucking can
and
live.
And you're both nodding, but then I've also heard you guys both complain that Hogan would never drop the belt and this guy would never drop the belt. You guys
I've never complained about that.
That was me. Yeah, I'll be the first one to complain about the lengthy title runs.
And if you're telling me when they've
lost steam,
and you're telling me when a guy is over with the fans, he's got the endorsements, and you still won't make him champion, there's nothing left. It's so goddamn confusing. Look, I have a day job. My day job is I sell. If I sell a lot, they give me more days on because I'm making the company money. If I don't do well one week, they take a day away from me. It's like anything else. It's like the logic. Hey, this guy's producing. He's connecting and he's clicking, checking all the boxes. Now, without a Vince character, you explain to me who's deciding why we're putting our thumb on the scales for the wrong people. You explain to me why
you're saying the wrong people, but anyone on this list is better than the people who are on the top. You're going to tell me that Kairi Sane is going to bump Charlotte, Alexa.
No, okay. I'm not saying that. What now I'm Nikki, saying, no, hold on. Understand where I'm coming from. Roster. Would they on any, and again, you can say it's WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan. Do they just leave these programs and these wrestlers hanging in the wind like that, especially when they're over with crowds? It's a bizarro WWE. It's a bizarro WWE concept that we have to leave things hanging.
AEW. There's a guy on screen right now that AEW did the exact fucking thing too. So don't even fucking say that. Motor City Machine Guns fucking did as much as they could do in TNA before they got an opportunity in WWE, and it took them motherfucking almost 20 years to get there. So it's
my attitude with that was my attitude with that. I will answer that
should be anything more.
I will say as succinctly as I can with a lot of these people. They brought them in and it was underwhelming for some of them. Motor City Machine Guns was underwhelming. They just went, yeah, here, TNA guys, here, they're famous. And I went, well, whoa, who are they? I know who they are. You know who they are because we pay attention to the masses of asses who don't know anything beyond the cookie cutter world of TKO. That was underwhelming. How did we not bitch and moan when they did the most idiotic shoehorn in for Danhausen? And they corrected it. They corrected it quickly and they corrected it successfully, but they shoot him in to a PLE and it made no sense. It was a non sequitur. So yeah, they WWE,
but Danhausen, and because they're so high, I'm holding them to a higher standard. And again, they're the ones who fucking found what to do with that guy as compared to him just staying home for AEW, right? So you can't none of these people are Danhausen. He fills this small of a thing and he's fucking brilliant at what he does. And
I can attest as well. I was at WWE World on Thursday, the day that the whole fucking thing opened. And as I was tracking down merch and all that kind of thing, as soon as they were putting Danhausen shirts on the racks, they were being taken off because people were getting them. Like, people were buying that shit hand over fist. Yeah. Realistically, yeah. It ties into what you just said, Rob. Your day job is you're a salesman. The more that you sell, the more money you make and the more value you are to the company.
I understand. And there are some
at the end of the day, these people did not move the needle as much as they needed to in order to justify keeping them. And that's the harsh reality of it. That's the business side of it. But yes, as a fan and seeing these talents, knowing that each one of them are a human being with families, it sucks for this to happen. But again, it's business.
And that's my point. And I will stick this a billion times over. I'm a salesman and I'm an entertainer. If I don't like the venue I'm selling, I was at a location today. I was making no money. I took my table with all my merchandise and I moved it to a better sales area. Nobody had to tell me. I did it on my own.
And but you can't do it on your own when you're in a fucking company that is.
But there are people on the list who I talked about all night who did.
What are you fucking coming up with?
I am not dropping this one, dude. I'm not. Okay. When I said that, yes, you said that Vince McMahon screwed with a guy, and the guy said, "Let me be LA Knight. You put me out on NXT to be that. Put me on Raw and SmackDown, and give me a chance to be the character that they crafted."
I don't know where you're getting the story from either, because I've never heard that Ricker said,
why did Ricker go on the main roster as Max Dupri and end up back as LA Knight and succeed?
Because fucking Hunter came up. Hunter started doing the fucking talent relations when he was up. That's why. Knew him. That's all.
Wait, run that by me again. Why is it that it's a failed gimmick was dropped and the successful one put back into place when every time these guys push to get their right gimmicks in there and it starts to work, you conveniently ignore that? That's my only problem with this argument, is that these people here, some of these people, some were successful enough And for whatever the reason, there was a disconnect. So I'm acknowledging that due to the physicality of what this sport is, that maybe they could not sync up in the ring with others, or they didn't speak up. I cannot for the life of me. I will drop dead in my grave before I understand why the Wyatt Six are on that list at this point in time, when there were enough of them that could have kept that storyline generating steam, putting t-shirts out there and getting fireflies going. Because as soon as you hear their music, that light dims, those phones go on. So you cannot tell me, you can't with any sincerity tell me that those fucking guys were not over and could not move merchandise. You can't.
I never said that they weren't over. I said the fact of the matter is look at the fucking website. They didn't have a lot of merch. They don't. They were not a crew that was vital to being used. And in fact, you could argue that the MFT and their feud was two feuds of six people who were fucking going nowhere.
I agree. But
it's fucking filler, Rob. You say I'm an entertainer. Well, guess what? I am too. And one of the things I know is that if you're going to put together a show, you do need filler. And guess what? Sometimes it ain't going to fucking work. And we know
the
this.
Point is look at any of the is take. Wait a minute. No, I'm not agreeing. I fundamentally disagree with you. You had people. You could put that on there. You're both wrong. You had people that were good. You had people that the audience was behind, and you as a company failed to market them, and then you dropped them off. That's not on them. That's on you for not marketing them correctly. That's on you for not understanding. Look, Danhausen, God bless him, he owns everything, because they would have fucked that up if they tried to create a Danhausen. Look what they did. They did not know what to do with Karrion Kross and Scarlett, so they tried to create their own version of it. How did that go? Instead of letting the people be themselves and letting shit happen organically sometimes, you are notorious, both of you, for acknowledging that WWE does not always let that happen. And if you let people sometimes breathe and characters grow and develop and the audience get a connection with the people, then some of them would still be there and you would be making more money off of them. That's it. And if you have to argue that point, you ain't no fucking entertainer.
Yeah, bullshit. Period. Bullshit. Mike because Rob. Here's the thing. The thing is, again, Rob, these are also salaries. Right? And that's the thing that you're totally fucking ignoring.
No, I'm not.
Is that these people are way more fucking expensive than bringing up the next generation of people. And I'll tell you right now, you're going to tell me that when you're looking at the people they're bringing up, oh, we're going to keep Aleister Black on our fucking roster.
He was one guy I said no. Like he was one guy I said no because there was nowhere on the roster for him right now. But what I'm saying is, because you used the New York Yankees example last week, which I love that because it always plays right into my hand. The New York Yankees have a way bigger budget. The WWE has a way bigger budget than these other companies. They can afford once and then to take a hit and let something develop. And there were people on that roster who were fucking amazing, who were developing. Steve just said it. Why was Kairi Sane forced to eat bump after bump and eat pin after pin after pin when every week we're entertained by this person? She literally is almost in her own way, a kind of a female Danhausen underdog character that I got behind. And then you pulled the rug out from me and you left me hanging. Now, instead of having the buffer character, which was the tug of war character between these two.
Cry a fucking river over it. It's
this is what the nature of our program is. Our nature of our program is analyzing.
And now
this.
You're fucking crying. That
I'm not crying. I'm trying to bring the sanity and the oxygen to the brain cells that are deprived. If I'm not being entertained, you guys are fucking up. Dropping talent,
if you're not being entertained, then change the fucking channel.
I am. That's why the fuck I don't watch
it. Then how are you fucking commenting on any of this if you're not fucking seeing
it? Some of it sucks. I don't watch it. What did Steve say for years since I joined up with you guys? I haven't watched WWE. What did DJ Impact say? I didn't watch the program this week. Tell me what happened. Why? Because you guys were not entertained by it. I'm not the first one to say this, and I won't be the last. There's a billion wrestling fans out there who don't like what happens sometimes.
That's we also have a fucking life too. You know, we
Don't backpedal now. Don't do the fucking backpedal. Let's not do the backpedal.
The truth
if I'm saying to you that you guys screwed up, if I'm saying to you, and not you as you, Matt Michaels, WWE screwed up. Do you know for about 6 years, right before, I guess, the Shield dissolved, there was a good chunk where I just didn't watch wrestling because I already knew what it was going to be. It was going to be Cena shoulder tackles and him rolling around on the mat in pain for a half an hour every match. And for a good chunk of time, that's what wrestling was. So I completely stopped watching it. What happened? As in all things, the programming got better. It changed because people either spoke their mouth or they just stopped watching. So right now, I'm saying again, not everybody. I want to be very clear. There's a lot of people on this list that were just enhancement talent, but they offered nothing storyline-wise. They were not entertaining, and their moves were subpar. Some of them were not. Hey, look, fucking Aleister Black is excellent in the ring. Who could he have worked with that would have matched his energy? I don't know, but they killed him off so quickly on this run. That ambulance match, they executed him so quickly. They put cold water on a lot of these guys. EC3 could have been amazing. Don't know what happened. He's got mic skills, wrestling skills. They killed him.
EC3?
I'm going back in time just to give you an example. Or all right, let's keep it more. What the fuck? You're laughing, but these are people that you go, wow, that guy's great now that he left WWE. Why do you guys keep saying that? You say that about Karrion Kross all the time. Now that guy's out of WWE, he could be great. Why couldn't he be great on the main roster? Why couldn't he be allowed to fucking sell to millions instead of thousands? Was that because he doesn't want it? He wants it. The fans want it. Who is the one person cock blocking half this
again,
shit?
But again, you're going, well, this person or that person or this person or that person. Again,
you got Nick Khan, you've got H.
You have a jam log that you have to manage. That's it. And if you look at AEW, it's the same thing on the top there too, right? You have a handful of people who are the top of that company as well. This is how it fucking works. TNA might be the only company that all of a sudden you get champs and big guys who were never that. But you have your established top. That's it. Both companies, period. That's it. Period.
They just gave an emo skater the belt. He doesn't look like any champion you've ever seen.
But he's been a top guy for 7 years. In fact, the fact that it took this long to put the belt on him says a lot about he had to bust his ass to prove himself to Tony that he could try to fucking, you know, hold this. It was a reward.
All right, so let's switch gears. What do some of these people or all of them have to do? What do they have to do? Did they just say, fuck it, I can't ever be in WWE? Did they go down to the Indies, TNA, MLZ? Where do they go to get to back to the mountain, or is WWE not the mountaintop anymore?
I'm turning this over to you because I know that you absolutely have a great idea for fantasy stuff and trying to do that, because that really makes more sense than arguing with Rob.
You know, it's been pretty funny seeing you guys go round and round in a circle for the past 25 minutes. It's actually,
we love each other's tail. That's
speaking of being entertaining, you guys were entertaining. So,
well, then by that logic, I should be fired in WWE land.
Well, you know, soon enough. But yeah, let's pick out where we would prefer to see some of these names. A couple of things that jumped right off the page for me is you could actually keep the Wyatt Six as a group together if they're all open to it. I think they would all do fantastically in TNA. Reason being, TNA, they thrive on that narrative style storytelling. They do extremely well with the supernatural aspect of things, especially with some of the stuff that they've been doing lately. You know, I think that we've mentioned the comparison being made between Karrion Kross and Scarlett and Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. I would love to see the latter two go to MLW and actually have a feud with Kross and with Scarlett.
All right.
That would be fucking awesome. Think think of the imaginative things that these guys could do. Kairi Sane, you know, obviously the home run slam dunk, whatever metaphor that you want to use, is go back to stardom and run Japan. Which I agree. Realistically, she was going back and forth from Japan once every couple of weeks anyway, the entire 7 years that she was in WWE. So now she can stay home. Everything's great for her. I would love to see her in AEW, but realistically, I think that there's another women's wrestler on this list that would be great in AEW. And I'm talking about someone that is a friend of the show, Zoe Stark. I think she could do great things in AEW because she is an excellent in-ring worker, and that is rewarded in AEW. Even names like Alba Fire, I think Kaylee Ray would be great in either AEW or Ring of Honor. And Santos Escobar, CMLL all day, every day. I'm surprised that, you know, that he re-signed with WWE as opposed to signing that CMLL deal, which was the big rumor when his contract came up. And last but not least, obviously the Motor City Machine Guns. There was one very interesting thing that was actually announced. And I think we might have an image of it. I'll have to track it down, but there was a date that AEW announced for Dynamite on a day that just so happened to be 96 days after this announcement was made. And where is that episode of Dynamite? It's in Detroit, Michigan. So that is tailor-made for them to show up in their home city, get a Herculean pop, and And here's a curveball for you guys. Tyra Mae Steele, we talked about her earlier. I think she is tailor-made for Real American Freestyle. And I say whatever you will about it, they've got some investors that could throw some good money her way, and I think could actually use her to market that brand to a completely different audience than what may be going and attending those shows and, you know, furthering that brand.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there is a thing you said there that is out of the possibility realm. I think that all of those
are reasonable.
Yeah. All those are, you know, perfect lining up of, you know, where to go. You know,
Sin City, Steve, we now need you to bring peace to the Middle East.
Give it time.
You know, and it's interesting too. Again, you know, you look at it. You know, Apollo Crews, who fucking cares?
ROH, Indies.
Yeah. ROH, I could see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that that's, you know, again, what it comes down to, you know, Zoe. Yeah. I mean, AEW would be good. But also again, it's a trick in terms of when you're looking at how many people are already there.
Yep.
Now you have to now see Rob, here's the thing that you're missing the point. TKO didn't give a shit about if you come to creative with this or that, whatever. That's not how that company runs. At AEW, there is more leniency to do that, you know, especially if you become buddy-buddy with Tony. Then, you know, Tony's more willing to give you opportunities and do this or that with you.
Well, so, you know, and I like playing pool, and pool has lots of eight balls.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, corner pocketing it there with Tony Khan. And, you know, speaking of, again, Triple H, Nick Khan, WWE talent relations behind talent cut decisions. That's apparently what was said. Shapiro on the, you know, the investors call, you know, said a lot of shit regarding the fact that, you know, they're a company, they're a business, and that's what they're, you know, doing. The salaries came out, which I think it's interesting because Ari Emanuel's salary, I don't think that's just WWE money.
Yeah, he does so many different things, and he's got so many different revenue income streams that it's not all from TKO.
Right, which I noticed that a lot of the fans who were saying shit didn't understand that this is not his main aspect. But this was great that they confirmed that they're using AI in the creative process. Mm-hmm. To determine,
you're not helping your arguments. You realize
that's why that, right? They do what they do.
You're really not helping your arguments here.
No, I'm actually proving my argument right here. This is absolutely why people don't get chances, because they're going off of, you know, what popularity sells, what is trending, what is, they are doing everything Major League Baseball does in terms of stat guys. That's what this is becoming. And it's becoming, how much more money can we make by looking out for trends that the computer is telling us is going on? That's all these people care about, is the fucking bottom line. That's it. It's no longer a wrestling, you know, company. It's a fucking business. And when Shapiro said that they used AI for fucking UFC, it's just, that shows you. It's like, We're not saying this is a wrestling company, this is a fighting company. No, we're saying, how much money can we make? Period. They don't give a shit about anything else but money. That's it. Welcome to the United States in 2026. That's it.
I'd like to say, you know, naively that this would bite them in the ass, but AI being what it is, it won't. It will suck for some of us. But they will just keep churning out fans, like, you know, like, or cutting
wait
off.
Minute,
hands,
wait a minute! Like, did you just say hands. AI sucks for you, but it won't bite you in the ass? Now that's a shame.
No, well, I mean, this is going to suck for your purest wrestling fans, but it's going to be like cutting hair. They're just going to go, all right, it'll grow back. I'll get newer fans. I'll get new people. I'll follow new trends, and I don't give a shit. Which, you know, I guess watch other promotions is the answer to that, and. That sucks because it makes the product horrible to watch some days. And yeah.
But, you know, and again, let's face it. Hollywood puts out so many fucking movies every year, and there's only a couple, you know, that stand out to you as a person, and then a handful that you go, oh, that was really good, and then a number of them that you liked. But a lot of it is shit. And a lot of it is based on your own opinion of what is shit and what is not shit.
Well, you know, but the other thing to consider. Yeah. But another thing to consider is the changing trends. And so much is, when was the last time you went to a quote unquote movie theater Hollywood experience? A lot of people don't leave their homes. And a lot of people.
Yeah. I go to the movies like once a week, bro.
Yeah. I mean, Saturday.
I work
AMC A-list, sales. Bro. That's all I'm going to say. Even if a movie sucks, it's still an excuse to get out.
I'm a comic. I get out, drink, go home.
There you go.
But when I do become a successful Hollywood star, you will be attending my movies.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What are these people? What the fuck universe? I don't know anybody that goes to a movies. You were like the only three I've ever spoken to.
Hey, dude. I love that experience though, genuinely. Like it's one of those things that I've always enjoyed.
But right. To me, that's the way I feel about like a WrestleMania. I liked the experience of seeing your usual guys in a tuxedo and the pageantry of the show, which has been lost in the last few years for me. So that's the way I feel.
It's not about that anymore.
But that's my point. I am that person. You're talking to that guy. You saw
we know.
That experience.
We know.
Now it's not there. And by the way, it does
that,
always...
that 7-year-old that you made cry for walking on your lawn the other day is fucking still in the corner crying about it because you were so mean to him.
I live in the desert, dude. I have pebbles in the front of my house.
Yeah, well, you were pretty mean to Pebbles, and she's crying, and she went, and she's going to get Bam Bam, and he's going to kick your ass.
Well, guess what? Fuck Pebbles and fuck Bam Bam. Stay off my Pebbles. But this happens all the time. When you take the fans for granted and you try to just use the computer, this happens in other industries where the industry collapse. They have to be aware of that once in a while. You have to have a human element to be able to not only just try to predict, but write something that is genuine and take that chance once in a while. Or you won't have Darby Allin type wrestlers. And that's just a fact of life as well. You cannot just rely every time on the computer to give you a good, memorable content. The programming that we've had in the last few years is shit. The program we had in the late 2000s was shit. And I'm sure Matt Michaels then would have defended WWE tooth and nail for the quality that was given to us.
No.
You're going to love this John Cena versus Randy Orton part 27.
Yeah, but that wasn't the thing I had a problem with. The thing I had a problem with was all the other crap wrestlers that weren't worth the shit. Now you have so many good, talented people on the fucking roster that it's hard to fucking keep people around because, again, you know, you have to keep your top and then you have to rejuvenate that middle. And it's a fucking hard thing to do. What, you know, the people are going to lose jobs, and that's how this fucking turnover
happens. I have one question to you about two particular wrestlers who've come back and they've had them do twin run-ins over Raw and SmackDown, the Street Profits. What do you see as far as the future for them? Because as entertaining as they were in it and energetic as they were to come into the ring, it felt like there was nothing new there. I felt it was very familiar. What do you see?
Have you watched the Usos for almost 15 years? It's again, the in-ring, if you're basing the in-ring and what they're doing, that shit ain't changing. You know, Jey Uso only got over because of the yeet shit. And that's it. His entrance was what got him the championship.
Yep. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
He's a solid wrestler, but he has a formulaic style. And that's it. That's what WWE has been.
But what I'm asking you now, that's kind drop. Of what I'm asking you is, what will be the it factor for them? What will be the catchphrase, the style? What do you think? Because I don't see anything new, and they've had, you know, a couple of times where they've been off for a few months.
Yeah, the only new thing they have is fucking baby and his fucking Bianca's belly, which I still say is not Montez's.
Oh boy.
All right. Let's.
They should play it up like it's Dawkins, though.
Really, seriously. I mean, that would be a great fucking storyline.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's the kind of time when you would have needed a white tag team wrestler because then the baby comes out chalky, and then it's no doubt. You're like, oh, what happened?
They just have the baby come out chunky. And then you know it's Dawkins because Dawkins ain't no thin boy. No,
he's dropped some LBs down. Though. Shout outs to him.
They had him without the shirt this time. They had him, you know, flexing the pecs this time.
He's looking miles better than he ever has. So, and that's not a slight on him at all. You know,
a tech team I'd like to see succeed. I just wish that they had some sort of better hook or catchphrase or something that we could catch.
Again, they've been successful. They'll be around. They haven't burned any bridges. They get along with people, etc.
Look at the state of tag team wrestling in WWE. That's all I'm going to say on that whole point is look at tag team wrestling in WWE. As long as they're contracted talents, they have a chance of holding tag team championship gold at any given moment during their run. So,
at the peak of the fucking Attitude Era, which everyone loves to fucking talk about, there were four tag teams. That's it. The belts were just going around in a circle between four tag teams. So it doesn't, you know, again, it doesn't matter.
Agreed.
You know, so, all right.
I never minded that back then. I was like, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. Cause it was entertaining.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of entertaining, Steve, tell us a little bit about Dynamite.
Dude, so your main event saw Darby Allin and Tommaso Ciampa beat the absolute shit out of each other in a great, great television match. Elsewhere on the show, you had Mark Davis over Will Ospreay via a doctor stoppage, which obviously that's the result of the match. But what happened afterward is going to be what drives a storyline. And obviously, for all those people that say there are no storylines in AEW, well, look fucking closer, because after the match, who saves Will Ospreay from the Don Callis family but the Death Riders and John Moxley, who Will Ospreay said that he wanted to kill and break his neck. So obviously Ospreay is dragged to the back, and Moxley has one of those come to Jesus conversations with him. And they left it on a huge cliffhanger. Will Ospreay end up joining the Death Riders? This is the type of thing that they need to do with high profile characters. Develop a multi-week, because you can tell it's going to last for a while, multi-week storyline, and just let them cook. Let these guys be creative with storylines, give them that freedom. And I think that they're going to do some great things. Obviously, you know, you had the return of Samoa Joe, which was great to see Joe back. But yeah, elsewhere, I mean, there were quite a few things kind of building to Double or Nothing, but I gotta say, man, the Darby Allin MJF promo was good, but it scares the shit out of me, because this Wednesday MJF faces new TNT champion Kevin Knight. And I can just see them wanting to make this pay-per-view name a literal match stipulation and have both the TNT title and the world title on the line. They don't need to do that. They don't need to truly have it be Double or Nothing at Double or Nothing. Fuck that. Just have MJF, Darby Allin go at it one more time. And if you'll notice, there's a theme here. Darby goes out every week on TV and damn near kills himself, but he's retaining the title. This week it was Tommaso Ciampa. Next week it's Brody King. And then from the looks of things, the week after is probably going to be Roosh. So obviously he's in there with very physical competitors. And I think that's going to be the storyline as they go into Double or Nothing, that Darby's killing himself week in and week out with the championship. Thus, he's not at 100%. MJF takes advantage and wins the world title. Hopefully, he doesn't walk into Queens as the TNT champion, though.
Interesting.
I wanted to jump into this. Is exactly kind of programming I like. This is good programming. Having the cinematic with Jon Moxley is just awesome. Having the point where it's not cut and clear as to what is going to happen. That is done tastefully, and it's not, it doesn't drag out too long. It doesn't take up 20 minutes. This is what I wanted from WWE. I'm getting it from AEW. So somebody got the homework assignment. Somebody figured it out. Good. This is good wrestling. This is good storytelling. I love it.
Yeah, it was fucking boring, and I had to fast forward through most of the episode. Seriously, But again, that's the thing. I'm not saying the wrestling wasn't bad. Wrestling's great. It's wonderful. Do I stay engaged by some of these personalities? Not at all. Moxley, I can give a flying fuck about Jon Moxley at this point.
Look, this isn't a Game of Thrones episode where the Khaleesi's tits come out. They can't all be that.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if there were more tits coming out, maybe I would be more.
Maybe Michaels AEW would watch AEW.
Well, Marina Shafir is part of that crew, which she doesn't have any, so I don't know what to tell you.
But again, like, for instance, Darby and Ciampa, great. That was a fine match. Wonderful. Except for the fact that, again, free TV, blood, don't care for it. Give it to me on a pay-per-view, fine. But, you know.
That's fair.
So obviously, have you seen any of the stuff that Leo Rush has been doing with the Blackheart gimmick? Obviously, he's run that gimmick on the indies. So we know what's coming for those of us that are aware. But how do you think that that's translated thus far with him? I mean, I see the metamorphosis of it, but I'm not sure if everyone's seeing that.
I think it's pretty clear. I would assume so. But then again, you know, you're also talking about an audience that probably already has X amount of percentage that kind of knows, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
So that's a good thing too. It, again, you put that into WWE, probably doesn't work.
Right.
Probably doesn't work.
Right. And that's the thing is WWE is so over the top. It's hyperbole for gimmicks. Whereas with AEW, I think that this plays in because they don't have a lot of those character gimmicks. I think he's doing extraordinary work, and I'm really happy that everybody is able to see what kind of stories he's able to tell, even in the confines of a match, because a lot of the stuff, he's not getting vignettes or anything like that. The character's being fleshed out from the time that his entrance music hits and what he's doing in the ring.
Right. Right. And that, again, if you don't do it with everyone,
right,
then that's allowed to grow and work.
Where does he go from that? What's the end game for
this? I'm not spoiling crazy shit, bro. Just sit back and enjoy.
All right.
He's getting stronger.
Yeah. All right. Because you just had him get his ass kicked by Brody King.
And that's totally fine. That's totally fine. So I'm hoping and praying that the payoff is as good as what I think it will be.
But right. This is the thing. Do you see how happy you are just even thinking about a payoff in a storyline for a mid-card character?
Yeah.
That's what wrestling should be.
That's what it should be. I agree entirely.
No reason why it can't be both that and profitable.
Yeah.
And again, I'll go to the Attitude Era. Look at those mid-carders. The stories weren't there though.
No,
they were awful.
Hey, come aboard the whole train.
Val Venus, you know,
Val some of those Venus, characters, man.
The Val Venus.
I think that's why some of those characters worked is because they worked because it was wrestling.
If it was
any other venue or medium of storytelling, those characters would not have worked. But because it was pro wrestling and it was pop culture at the time, they found a way to bring things in and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, it was extremely boring when you look at some of those matches. Go back and watch it. You watch Val Venus versus Billy Gunn. It's a shit show.
Mm.
See, you got to remember, it's like there's this thing about how, it was so good. But you watch fucking Nitro. Nitro fucking sucked.
A lot of filler.
And again, this is the question of, you know, why are these people around? Why are they not getting pushed? Because you only have so much time on TV. And unfortunately, this is what it's going to be.
What was night one? What was it, about 3 hours and a half of show, and how much of it was actually wrestling and the rest was commercials?
It was 78 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's weak. I just can't get on that train. That train.
Of course you can't. But again, that's the thing. This is the business now.
Well, there's another business, and they're putting out a product that I like. They're making not as much money, but they are, if they could figure it out, it's doing good. Not great, but good. And we're getting there. And I like it. I'm liking what I'm seeing from two out of three companies, if I'm counting TNA, AEW, and WWE. And not to say WWE is all bad. Some of the things that they have are working well. Liv Morgan with the belt, cool. The way they are going about that, great. Roman Reigns doing a newer version of the Bloodline, and he called it a new name. He gave them a new name. I forgot the name he used.
The First Family?
Yes, the First Family.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by that. I was intrigued by that because of all the different families out there. I love that. We are the ones, First Family. I love it. There's good stuff there. They can't afford some of these mid characters. They cut them off too early.
should cut you off earlier too. Wow. Oh man. All right, quickly go over this thing because I don't get this shit. I don't fucking play.
It was an episode of Collision, bro. It was, you know, it was obviously good wrestling. You know, you had Jericho taking the fall again to Ricochet, who beat him with the Rico Salt, as he's calling it now. Elsewhere, I mean, you had Tekla and you had Tekla and Sky Blue picking up the win with Sky Blue pinning Persephone. So probably that's going to yield Sky Blue a CMLL World Women's Championship match. And, you know, there was a 10-man tag. Bro, if you guys are looking for a party match that's just nonstop, go, 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 and is truly that a party match, definitely check out that match between the Rascals, the Bucks, and, you know, you had quite a few other teams in there too. It was a very solid match. You had the Dogs and the Death Riders rounding out that other faction side, and solid stuff, man. A good episode of Collision. It was a fun watch.
There we go. All right. So the came out today that NXT Premium live events to air on CW in multi-year deal, and
that's huge.
Network will air 20 NXT Premium live events over the next several years, including Stand Deliver, Great American Bash, Deadline, and Vengeance Day. And you know, again,
followed by Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Hey man, if you're putting 20 premium live events on network television over a across how many years was it? It just says several years. Yeah. So realistically, you could do 3 years of 7 premium live events. That's one every 2 months, mm-hmm. and that's a great slate of programming. And quite frankly, a huge win for WWE getting their content to be broadcast on the CW. I hope that they don't do commercial breaks during matches on those PLEs. You know, that's the only.
Or they can put it on the Pursuit Network.
Oh, jeez. Destination America.
Yeah. Followed by Falconing 101.
Well, you know, there's going to be commercials. Unfortunately.
Well, I'm saying not during the matches themselves.
Yeah, he does one mid-match, you know.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, because AEW started that.
Yeah.
They were the first ones to start it. And I think that as soon as, you know, Warner's figured that's a good way to make revenue. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you know, all the other networks went, oh shit, well, they're doing it. We can fucking do that. So, you know, and that's a fucking network decision. That's
not the fucking company.
So, but you know, again, CW, you get a little more eyes and, you know, a good opportunity, especially if you don't, I wouldn't be surprised if they, I don't know if they would put it on YouTube then afterwards or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, to give.
It probably would be the exact same way that they're. I know that CW is going to want the exclusivity of having it on their network. It's just a matter of for how long. If it's to where they upload it the next day or whatever the situation is, that's great for NXT fans. But yeah, if CW chooses to keep it proprietary and they forego putting it on YouTube, I think that could be a little bit of a pain point for some people.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right, really quick, Rob, Steve, anything catch your eye on this thing or that thing?
You know, Julia, not much of a trajectory right now. They're really giving another second win to Tippy Time. So I feel bad for Julia, but hopefully she finds a way to rebrand herself and find something that catches. with Roman Reigns and his cousin. Interesting, the lines are getting blurred again as far as who's on what roster and what that really means, and I'm okay with that. I never had a problem with that. Right. So I would like to see him lose and be humbled and have to join this new first family, but Rob, probably not.
Rob, what about for a little bit of a twist in the entire storyline? Who's to say that the Usos don't actually join up with the other guys?
Well, you could make it. I mean, you could make a break, and you could have Jacob and the Usos.
Yeah,
you know, leaving Roman by himself. I did like the idea of Solo approaching Hobbs, and just you could be part of the family.
He's
going to
run through everyone in that faction, though. He's going to destroy all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
fucking Tangaloa. How do you fuck up a table spot? How do you fuck up a table spot like that?
Yeah.
Well, here's another question. What happened to Tala Tonga? He's not in there.
He was not released. He was not none of that stuff. Like what the rumors were all circulating all over the internet. He was injured and not able to appear at the show.
All right. Cause they had the,
that's what they're listing it as.
Right. They just yanked him off even the MFT, you know, images. So.
How do you mean that?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see when it comes to it. But
The Trick Williams booking is surreal. It's obvious the fans want to cheer for that guy.
Right.
And why? Why are you not allowing the fans? It's obvious.
TKO,
they want to cheer him. They want to boo Sammy. So they cast them in opposing segments, meaning you have Trick and Yachty come out and you have them play up heel aspects of everything. And then you have somebody give them their comeuppance and it's somebody that the fans don't want to fucking cheer.
Right.
Like,
I didn't look at the segment that way though. I looked at it as Sammy's a heel and nobody cheered for him. Sammy's right. Being a piece of, he's a dick and he's coming off as a dick and it's working. Make him a heel. He won't let me.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. He needs to go heel fully.
This is him going heel.
Yeah. I think it's in the transitional, you know, thing, that you're going to see. Speaking of Trick, we finally got a close up of his robe and realized it's a CVS receipt. He's got $6 worth of rewards, which is great. You know, get himself an extra Fresca. All right. A couple things. You know, we're not kind of doing our normal segments here. Just get through some stuff. The worst experience I got meeting is CM Punk. We met more than 80 wrestlers and CM Punk came on top of being a real asshole. People are going to Fanatics 2026. If you meet him, you'll be deceived. He doesn't talk. He dead stares you. Some people ask to pay more to get a description. He refuses and being extremely rude. A woman in front of me gave him a flower. He straight put them in the garbage and said, I don't need that. Just avoid them. Never meet your hero. He's a total asshole. He looked like he needed therapy or something. In TV, he looks super guy and he's a real jackass. Looks like a super people guy, I guess was supposed to be said. On the other hand, Drew is the best. We met he understands the game, the business, how fans paid hard money to meet him. He's classy. I fucking love Drew. He put the CM Punk Funko on his Instagram and tag us when he feuded with Punk last year. Takes the time to wish my girlfriend happy birthday take free pictures, hug, handshake, and 2-3 minutes to talk to us. He was on schedule. Drew McIntyre's definitional class. I'll meet him again next year. Avoid punk, avoid punk, avoid punk, avoid punk. And of course, here's the picture of Drew McIntyre signing that CM Punk figure. I don't know. The one thing I learned about that from that is that maybe if you learn how to correctly speak English and form sentences, then maybe.
That too, but I can personally attest CM Punk was a fucking asshole during my meet and greet with him 5 years ago or whenever the hell it was. So yeah, that's not out of the realm of, you know,
they were interviewing Drew. I don't know if it was on the Van Blaze show or whatever the heck, but he was Drew McIntyre saying, yeah, CM Punk is a real asshole. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I really wanted to connect with the fans. I was holding up the entire programming during the COVID era. And I was really, you know, distressed when people did not connect with me when we went back to live. But throughout the entire time, CM Punk really is a piece of shit. He goes into detail about it, and I wasn't sure if it was a work or a shoot, this interview. He probably is one of those guys who low-key, you know, behind the scenes is what you guys are describing. So, but I don't even have time to say hello or do my own president. I'm going to have to be a dick right now. There is a red carpet show. And I argued my way into 20 minutes about my dislike for the current state of affairs in world wrestling. It's just a business. Entertainment.
Well, unfortunately, Rob, you know, we actually, you didn't read your contract. And yeah. So you have to hold to this until we're done with this whole episode. And if it cuts into your time, your 20 minutes, we do apologize.
Tough but shit.
Also, we do technically now have creative control of your act. So therefore, we're going to want you to start doing Trump more of a pleasant, likable character. You need to make Obama more of a an evil, spooky man, and your Cat Williams needs to go. We're not into Cat.
You know,
damn.
You know what? When you're famous, you could just grab him by the pussy. They let you do it. You know, I just rolled up on her like a bitch. And if you go into the women's room of Miss USA, they don't mind. It's not nothing I haven't ever seen before. They know I'm the president. And if they want to win and get up to the top of Trump Tower or Obama Tower, then they're going to play ball. And we just struck a deal with the Iranians and the Strait of Hormuz will be open immediately. Soon.
Well, on that note.
Immediately soon.
It's going to be a beautiful ballroom, too. The best ballroom. The biggest ballroom. A ballroom like never before seen.
Would that be a basketball room?
You know what? That was very racist. And that kind of behavior will not be tolerated, okay? Many African-Americans representing fine organizations like the NAACP would find that remark to be very, very bigoted and very short-sighted and narrow-minded. You should do better. Together, sure. We could all be a little bit more woke.
All right. Get out of here. Go. Go do your 20.
Actually, let me do the honors. Fuck you. All right. There we go.
Wow. For once, I wasn't a dick. Oh.
He's Jesus still there. Don't worry.
They held back.
Hey, bro, before you get on to better things to do, tell people where they can follow you and all sorts of shit.
Well, I'm going to be at the red carpet in 15 minutes at Ola Abibi at Casino Center Drive, 1115. And I want to say this. I really liked
his match at Mania, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I just want to say thank you to both of you. You guys have helped me in tremendous ways. And Sin City Steve and Matt Michaels are very good friends of mine, and I value you guys. And I've got a couple of other people now that I got an obligation, and I'm going to be at a congressional dinner for I'm being serious, wow, for congressional candidate Michael Boris, who's running for District 1. And he's running, you know, provided that he wins the Republican primary, he'll be running against also possibly Democratic candidate Gabriel Cornejo for Nevada District 1. And I have done my Trump routine for both of them. I'll be doing that, if I'm not mistaken, not this Monday, but I believe the Monday after. So it's either going to be the 5th or the 12th on that one. I've got a couple of other gigs. Oh, yes. On May 22nd, I will be a Cork and Thorn for the comedy show with 6-8 at Cork and Thorn.
There you go. Perfect.
And cameo.com/BossComedy. Guys, I love you both. Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Kill it. All right, man. Thank you.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay. All right. Now we can finish all up right. this lovely show. a couple things. Let's see. The NFL draft.
Yeah, man. Had a
little swerve going on there.
Which yeah, dude.
Really a good thing to get him out there. And then
he wasn't the only one, though.
Yep.
Kel Rodriguez and Swerve both announcing picks at the NFL draft in 2026. Yeah. Gotta love it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and again, that's what they, again, that's what they should be doing, you know, getting out there. And that makes it that much more part of pop culture, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. So Flair was banned from attending WrestleMania 42 after threatening Ludwig Kaiser over the Stratton and Charlotte thing from last year. Flair said he called Kaiser and threatened to beat the shit out of him. Flair complains that Kaiser stooged to Triple H and says Kaiser will go as far as a net in this business, questioning if Kaiser is even on the roster anymore. And then Flair did issue an apology. Oh, Rick. Relevancy.
And then who could forget his interview with Van Vliet a couple of days after that?
Yeah, exactly. This was kind of cool to see, man.
Oh, yes.
2002, man. You know, yeah, June 27th with Cena's debut. June 19th was AJ Styles. And March 18th was Brock Lesnar. So all in 2002. And within the year here, all three of them are now retired. And there's still the question if Brock will do the SummerSlam thing, which I don't know if he will, man.
I honestly don't. I think it would lessen the impact. Realistically, you've given Gunther those career-ending wins over so many talents. Realistically, it would just be looked at as the latest in the line for him, whereas I think you could really, really build Oba's legacy in his career on that right. monumental win that he drove Lesnar into retirement in that moment.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. So Sid's son was a little upset. Gunnar Udy, he wasn't happy with the Hall of Fame. Thank you everyone for all the love and support you've shown our family. It means the world. I appreciate every single person who had my dad's back last night's so-called Hall of Fame induction. My father was straight up disappointing, disrespectful as hell. I'm glad my dad was big enough to put himself over even in death, because WWE damn sure won't. I didn't see one single ad for him here in Vegas. The Hall of Fame gift shop had zero merch for my dad. Not a damn thing, but They were loaded with all the Dennis Rodman crap you could want. Felt like just swept under the rug. If we had waited another 20 years, all those jealous and secure ex-colleagues are gone. Come on now. Still, damn. I'm trying to stay positive for my son's sake. Yeah, I bring him, and he doesn't know if his grandpa they did his grandpa dirty. So I have a little bit of a problem with it because of what he mentioned, and that's the merch. He didn't say, you know, they didn't take the time not to put my dad on stage. They didn't do this. Right. They didn't do that regarding the actual Hall of Fame. It went straight to there was no merch. And merch sales equal money for Sid's family. So I don't know. In some regards, they did him wrong by not putting him in the Hall of Fame while he was still alive. That's fair. But in terms of this, I'm sure there were not any Bad News Browns t-shirts either.
I didn't remember seeing any, to be honest with you. I know that obviously they didn't have any Sid merch, but it was not a good look when I saw that that whole quote come out. I mean, why would you have to bury other people when emphasizing your point? I think that delegitimized the concern pretty rapidly for me, as sad as it is to say. It's not a good situation. There's definitely better ways to go about doing that, and displaying more tact is one of them.
Yeah. Funny enough, this was what it looked like when a guy like Brody King gets in a ring with a Make-A-Wish kid. But it's funny because someone posted this, 5'5 and 150 pounds, tiny spot monkey, stuntman or gymnast or what, AEW awards, think to be what people care about or what people think are needed for a better wrestling show. I mean, their top guy, Darby, the teenage emo hero of Man-Childs, is smaller than the belt. Glorified spot monkey who can't actually wrestle. But very interesting, that comparison picture, right? Where you have Obafemi, and that's what a pro wrestler looks like for WWE and pro wrestler looks like for AEW. And I think that this makes a great point, and that is, that's the thing. The thing is that there's an opportunity for people.
Absolutely. I'm honestly very happy that you phrased it the way that you did. I thought for sure that we would get, you know, some more trolling from Matt Michaels, as that is a specialty, but no, legitimately, you've said it on this very show numerous times, belts are props and should be treated as such. It's helping to, you know, further storyline. I mentioned in the, what I think is going to be playing out over the next couple of weeks, in terms of Darby's booking. There's definitely a way that they're going to be able to make it make sense for even the average viewer that might be tuning in for one of the first times. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Something they had to do. Paige said Nick Khan told her your neck needs to be okay, and we have to make sure we do a drug test. While they were doing the negotiations, Paige went through all of that and was fine. You know, everything, she got cleared with everything. She also said that her dad saved her life during the tape that was leaked. She said she was ready to do it. And then her dad said, everyone has a sex life. Yours just happened to be on the internet. You could be famous like Kim Kardashian. And she said, he saved my life that day. So that's a great little support to see there. Chris Jericho is in the latest episode of Apple TV's Margo's Got Money Troubles. So that's a little something there.
Fun fact, former WWE diva Summer Rae is acting as the stunt double in that episode. So,
nice.
So it's pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome to see. I'm so jealous of Silveruka. Her bra steamer looks way better than mine.
Pretty much.
Pretty awesome. Happy birthday, John Cena. Just turned 49. Pretty awesome.
Good birthday to the man.
Yep. Finally this week, we got documentaries on both Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels. And of course, who can forget Shawn as Hogan during 2005. Watch both. The Hogan documentary is exactly, you know, what you thought you would see. You know, gave pretty much the layout of the story. You know, didn't go too far into a lot of, you know, the controversy, but it was acknowledged. There's just so much to unpack in four episodes. It was about a 4-hour documentary. So there's a lot there. The Shawn one, though, hour and a half-ish. Again, you know, unpacked a lot of stuff. Gives an excuse to put up the sexy pictures from Playboy magazine, Playgirl magazine, which can't go wrong with Shawn in 1996 in his prime there.
You say so.
I am saying so. I'm saying so. Hell yeah. And finally, Steve, if you want to comment on this.
Yeah. So unfortunately, a bit of sad news to end the show on here is a UK wrestling fan who made the trip to Las Vegas for WrestleMania weekend. Unfortunately did not make it back to the UK. Mark Izzard was seen with the photo op with Natty Neidhart. And then that was the last photograph of him. He was seen leaving SmackDown from the T-Mobile Arena and unfortunately did not board his plane. So they determined that the date of his death was the 18th. However, in news that just recently came out from, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Izzard passed due to a long-standing health issue. So thankfully there was no foul play or, you know, anything nefarious that went down. There is a GoFundMe that has been started by his family, and rightfully so, to help bring his body back to the UK, yeah. Which, first things first, it's an exorbitant amount of money to bring a dead body across the country, let alone across the world. Also, I think that there could be a way for TKO to come off looking like, you know, great fan ambassadors in this instance. You know, realistically, what is it for them to fit the bill for that? Yeah, it's something that they could write off in a minute of their time. So yeah. Even if they didn't, you know, cover the entire thing, even if there was, you know, a sizable donation, which there have been donations from former WWE talents and current WWE talents, GoFundMe.com and just do a search for Mark Izzard, MarkIzzard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was the family who came out and said that it was natural causes. To health conditions. So that seems to be unfortunately the truth. All right, wrap it up, Steve.
All right. I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Oh, and this coming Thursday, we're going to run it back. We're going to do the Sin City Indie Report one more time. You guys, we had some pretty good response to it. So thank you guys for checking that out. We're going to be shining the spotlight on independent wrestling once again this coming Thursday. So stay tuned for that. Probably going to be going live around 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, of course, on Thursday. So Sin City Indie Report.
There you go. All right, everyone, check it out this coming Thursday. And what do you got to say, Big Boss Man?
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.